The first line of that last song that we sang, I believe, just reminded me a little bit of the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. So again, a plug for the Bible Hour at 5 o'clock tonight. And then, as Alex shared with us this morning, you think of 30 plus years in one place, and on any given day, it may not seem like a lot was accomplished. Isn't that the story of our lives? But then when you go back, and you're going to hear that from Alex today, as you go back and you look at 30 years, you see what God's done. And that reminds me of what we read in Zechariah, that it says that not to despise the day of small things. And when you live each day, live it to God's glory, live it to His honor, do what you do to His honor and glory. And then when He strings that all together, you'll really be amazed at what He's done. It's our privilege to have with us, as I mentioned earlier, probably for the last time this side of eternity, Alex and Pam Konya. They have been our missionaries for many, many years. We're thankful for their faithfulness and what God has done. We heard about that in the ABF hour. You're going to hear a little bit more about it in this hour. But Alex, the Lord bless you as you share with us today.
Wow, this side of eternity, that sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? I was sitting here thinking how good it is to be with you today. Pam and I are so privileged to have been standing together with you for Hungary and for Europe for the last 30 plus years. And truly, it is good to be here. But of course, at our age, it's good to be anywhere, I guess, but we're not counting on that one. You know, I stand up here and speak and do these kinds of more visible ministries. But when we left for Hungary in 1992, we packed up three teenage kids, some of the things that we had that we knew we couldn't get there, and got on an airplane and flew out of Chicago and ended up landing in Budapest and living in Hungary for 30 years. And Pam had never been to Hungary, didn't speak the language, truly went on faith. We went there together, and she did a number of things. You'll see some of that today. Among them was homeschooling two teenage boys in another country, in another part of the world, and I'm so appreciative of my wife of more than 50 years now. Can you imagine? She is such a blessing. I want you to see who she is. Hon, would you stand up? My wife, Pam, there she is. So she'll be in the back after church if you'd like to talk to her or visit with you. She loves to talk to people. I grew up in a world that was divided by communism. It was East versus West. It was the countries of freedom versus what Ronald Reagan termed the evil empire. It was a time of tension. It was a time of nuclear threat. And perhaps that was greatest symbolized by the Berlin Wall that divided the city of Berlin into communist East Berlin and free West Berlin. The Berlin Wall was a cause of misery and death and division. And here you see a picture of two little kids that are playing at the Berlin Wall sometime in the 1960s. But in the 1980s, things began to change as the Soviet Union finally chose a younger man to be the General Secretary of the Communist Party, and his name was Mikhail Gorbachev. And in 1987, Ronald Reagan went to the Berlin Wall and stood there in the city of Berlin before the Berlin Wall. Behind him was the Brandenburg Gate, one of the great historical monuments in that great city. And Ronald Reagan made a speech. Most of that has been forgotten, but there was one line that has never been forgotten when he said this: "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." That was 1987, and I was pastoring in South Bend, Indiana at the time, And I remember the political pundits and the commentators on TV kind of snickering and laughing and sort of saying, well, fat chance that's ever going to happen in our lifetime. But the truth of the matter is, the unbelievable became believable just 2 years later, when in 1989, the Berlin Wall did come down. And in that place where Ronald Reagan had stated that truth 2 years before, there was rejoicing and dancing and singing on that very wall that once symbolized misery and destruction and division. And the world, and especially Europe, had changed. And in country after country, the communist symbols and the red stars and the statues to Lenin and Marx and others were torn down, and the symbols of democracy were put in their place. One of those countries was a country of 10 million people, the size of about the state of Indiana, the country of Hungary. One of those countries that was in what was then called the Warsaw Pact, country of Eastern European, League of Eastern European countries that was under the thumb and the control of the Soviet Union. With that fall of the Iron Curtain in 1989, perhaps the greatest open door to the gospel was given to the church in 2,000 years of its existence, as hundreds of millions of people who had lived behind spiritual repression and great restrictions in religious freedom now for the first time breathed the open air of freedom. Open doors are very special things, and they don't happen every day. But that principle about open doors actually goes back for thousands of years. And you can look in your Bible at a time when Paul, the apostle, was ministering in Europe, and God gave to him an open door of opportunity. He wrote a letter to a church that he wanted to visit, telling them he was going to have to change his plans because of that and remain where he was. He was in the city of Ephesus at that time, which is in modern Turkey. And the letter that he wrote is preserved for us. It is our book of 1 Corinthians. And I would like to ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and look at verses 8 and 9. Verses 8 and 9, 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 9. Paul writes to them and he says, "But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries." A great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. In this passage of Scripture, these short verses, we find four principles of open doors given by God that are just as operative and true today as they were 2,000 years ago when Paul penned these words. They were operative in 1989 when the Berlin Wall came down and the Iron Curtain came down and an open door of opportunity was given to Europe. That changed my life and changed my family's life and the lives of many, and that you were involved with personally as well. But those principles are operative in other doors of opportunity that are given. Doors of opportunity that are given in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Doors of opportunity that are given to Oak Park Church. Open doors of opportunity that are given to us personally in our own lives, in ways that we can touch the lives of others that would be impossible apart from God's working. And so that's what we want to talk about today. Today is sort of a combination encouragement to you, challenge to you, and thank you to you. We came here today, first and foremost, to say thank you. Thank you for the 30 plus years of faithful partnership that we have had with Oak Park Church, and thanking you for the opportunity to make a difference in tens of thousands of the lives of young people that you have never met, but you're going to meet in eternity when we get before the Lord. So what are these principles? What can we learn? and how can we apply them to what happened in Europe since 1989? Principle number one is this: God gives open doors of opportunity to take the gospel to those who need to know it. God gives open doors of opportunity to take the gospel to those who need to know it. Paul wrote and he said, a great and effective door is open. If you want to know something about that door, you can take your Bible, not now, but sometime. Turn to Acts chapter 19, where it is described what happened there when Paul finally got to Ephesus. By the way, after three tries. He finally gets to Ephesus, spends about 2.5 years there, freely proclaiming the gospel with Aquila and Priscilla, and Apollos helping him, great saints of the Lord, and even opens a Bible Institute. You know, our Bible Institute was called the Word of Life Bible, Hungry Bible Institute. His Bible Institute was called the School of the Tyrant. Actually, that wasn't the name of the school that Paul was running. It was the name of the school that he was renting. Can you imagine? Come spend a year of your life at the School of the Tyrant. Doesn't that sound appealing? The School of Tyrannus, it says. That means the tyrant. And he had a Bible Institute, and the Bible tells us that through his discipleship and his evangelism and the rapid way that the gospel freely spread during that 2 or 3 years, all those of Asia heard the word of the Lord. You open your Bible, for example, to Revelation 1 through 3, and you read of the seven churches of Asia. You know where they got started? Right here, through this open door of opportunity. But when Paul looked at it, he said, you know something? I didn't do this. Yes, I proclaimed the gospel. Yes, I was obedient to God's call, but God opened that door. God uses politicians. God uses economics. God uses war. God uses many different things. But make no mistake about it, open doors of opportunity to share the gospel are God's open doors of opportunity to share the gospel. That wall came down in Europe in 1989 by divine appointment. It really did. And the result has been astounding. Three years before the wall came down in 1985, the countries that then formed the European Union went to a country called Luxembourg. Anybody ever been to Luxembourg? Oh, one or two, good. To the town of Schengen. Have you ever been to Schengen? I've never had any. I ask this question everywhere I go, and nobody's ever raised their hand. I've been to Schengen. It probably means nothing to you, but every European knows of that town. And here is why. Because the officials and administrators and heads of these countries gathered together in this town in Luxembourg called Schengen to come to an agreement that they would no longer have independently policed borders, meaning open borders, meaning no passport necessary, no special anything necessary. Once you come within our common border of Europe, you can go anywhere you please. Very much like here, once you get into the United States, whatever border you cross, you can freely travel from state to state. As a result of that, you can travel from Hungary to Austria, over to Germany, over to Luxembourg, over to Poland, over into France, go through the Channel, go to Great Britain, whatever you want. Well, not anymore because they left with Brexit. But any of those countries, 27 countries, and out of those 27, there are 25 of them, and you can travel around as freely as you want to travel. And that opened an opportunity that was breathtaking. You can see on that map the countries that are in blue. On the other side, you see the map of the European Union, each star representing one country. And then on the left side, you see those countries in blue. Those are countries of the European Union that take part in what is called the Schengen Zone. Every European knows that phrase, the Schengen Zone. am I going to a Schengen zone country or not? Because if it's a Schengen zone country, I need no extra papers. If not, I need a passport. There it is. And with all of that, an ease of travel took place across the continental Europe that had not happened for 2,000 years since the first century AD. Over in Hungary, one of the countries that was behind the Iron Curtain, the first, by the way, to fall in 1989 to bring down the Berlin Wall, there was a beautiful summer home mansion, 60-room mansion, that had been owned by an aristocrat and built in 1895. It was owned by his family, kept in the family for years, and then in 1945, when the communist Red Army rolled in through Hungary, democracy was gone, of course, and communism fell, came into being, and this place was taken over by the communists to be a communist youth camp for nearly 40 years. But then in 1989, communism was going broke and belly up and intellectually bankrupt. And as a result of that, they needed money. They were really in debt. So to make a very long story short, Word of Life, that had been secretly working behind the Iron Curtain for some years, was given a 10-year lease on this place. For 10 years, the price of the lease was 400 campers every summer that we had to bring to our camp from Hungarian orphanages and foster homes. Can you imagine that? See, this place had been taken over and turned in 1948 to a communist youth camp. There were 10 buildings, there were dorms with beds, with pillows, with sheets, with everything in the kitchen, spoons, forks, the whole works. All of it was given over to us lock, stock, and barrel to be used for the glory of God for a 10-year lease, 4,000 Hungarian kids that had never heard the gospel in their lives came, and many, many, many trusted Christ. And it was in that setting that Pam and I were called to leave the senior pastor of Mayflower Baptist Church in 1992 to travel to Hungary to open a Bible Institute there. Because we said we would open it in English and in Hungarian, so that other young people from former East Bloc countries that could speak a little bit of English could come, because there wasn't a place like that in these places. Communism had just fallen. And so we came to your church and we shared that dream. And we looked kind of like this at the time. My wife hasn't changed much, but I have really changed. I call that picture Beauty and the Beast. And there's our three kids. As we left in 1992, and before that time, we came here and we shared the dream of opening a Bible Institute and continuing a camping program to not only reach Hungary, but reach out through what was then Central Europe or Eastern Europe, and we did not realize that that would result in reaching the ends of the earth. What an amazing thing. And so, what has happened since then? In that summer camp that started in 1990, more than 32,000 Hungarian kids have gone through that camp. More than 32,000. Of that number, more than 13,000 have made an open public decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, just at the summer camp in Hungary. 1,000 Bible Institutes or students have attended our school from more than 50 countries of the world. There are graduates serving the Lord in every continent of the world except for Antarctica. And we have one of them here whose name is Atung. Atung, would you come up here just for a minute? Atung is one of those 1,000. You know where he's from? Where are you from, Atung?
Myanmar.
Also, you might know Burma, being related to that. He gave his testimony in Sunday school, but some of you were not there. He left his country, Myanmar, at the age of what?
12.
12 years old, with a relative, left his family behind. He knew the Lord because of an American missionary that had come there presenting the gospel. Goes to the Czech Republic. Went to our Czech Republic camp as a camper. God worked in his heart, became a counselor, right?
Yeah.
Camp counselor. And that got you to really thinking. You're also a pretty good soccer player, aren't you? Yeah. He was playing actually on a professional level. And God got a hold of his heart. And he said, I really want to go on with the Lord Jesus Christ. Began to talk about Bible school. You didn't even know about the Word of Life Hungry School at one.
I didn't.
You didn't even know we were there. Almost neighboring country. He found out about the Bible Institute in Europe that you have been supporting. Went there for 2 years. Graduated, studied in English, which is Atung's third language. He is now a full-time missionary in Czech Republic using his gifts and abilities for the Lord. Could you have dreamt that back in 1991 when we showed up here, you know, this young couple, what in the world are they doing? And by the way, Atung was in the morning, Sunday school hour, adult Bible study hour. He'll be at the back as well. If you want to get a prayer card or talk to him, you know, he is open to doing that. That's part of the reason why he's with us. Thank you, Atung. We appreciate him. Yeah. But more than 1,000 students from 50 countries. Graduates, as I've said, serving on every continent of the world. This is one of our grads in Japan today with some of her students there. Tens of thousands have been reached in Hungary with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everywhere from the top scientists in the National Academy of Science to kids in young people in prison to the maximum security prison, one of the most maximum security prisons in the country, to the schools, to the churches. Thousands and tens of thousands have been reached with the gospel since those days. And we are in 18 different countries now of Europe. You can see the list there. They include a lot of the countries that were once communist countries. God has done an amazing work. And hundreds of thousands across Europe have been reached with the gospel. On any given year, about 10,000 young people somewhere in Europe will attend a Word of Life camp. 40% of them, statistically given per year, will make an open public decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? All that happened by God's appointment.
Amen.
That's the principle, is it not? And it has just gone and gone and gone from there. And the latest, thousands of refugees cared for. We shared those statistics in the Sunday or the adult Bible school hour. Literally thousands that have heard the gospel coming through in the war in Ukraine. Principle number two in this passage is this: God fits the individual to the opportunity. God fits the individual to the opportunity. Paul writes and he says, a great and effective door has been opened for me. For me. God had built and fit Paul so that he would be the guy to do this. He was a Jewish theologian, raised in a Jewish home, but not in Jerusalem. He was raised in Gentile territory. He was a Roman citizen. He understood Gentile thinking. He understood Gentile government. He understood Gentile law as well as Jewish thinking. Can you think of anybody that could be more efficient and more effective in taking the gospel into the province of Asia? God prepared the individual for the opportunity. God did that for me. This is my grandfather, one of my four grandparents. He lived in Akron, Ohio. He worked for B.F. Goodrich and worked in the factory there producing tires in one of the worst places to work. I remember Akron, by the way, growing up. That was the tire capital of the world. And when you got within about 30 miles, you knew it was true because you could smell it. My grandfather would wash, he painted his house gray instead of white, and would wash his house down every summer, and I could see the black streaks running down from the residue of the tire manufacturing that went on in Akron. He was a Hungarian. He spoke with a little bit of broken English with a heavy accent. My father's parents were also Hungarian. I go back to that town where my family is from every year. I had no idea growing up. If you'd have told me in 1985, Alex, in 7 years you're going to be leaving this church, you're going to be taking your wife and kids, you're going to be moving to Hungary, and you're going to be a missionary there, I would have said, ha! Impossible! But what is impossible with man is possible with God, and guess what happened? We found ourselves on a Lufthansa German Airlines flight, flying out of Chicago and heading to Hungary in 1992. And so I understood the culture, I understood the thinking. Didn't understand the language, because we didn't speak it in our home, but God prepared us for that opportunity. Can I tell you something? It is the responsibility of all of us to be global Christians. It is the responsibility of all of us to be sharing the gospel. And God gives open opportunities to all of us in accordance with the gifts and abilities that he gives us. As I said in Sunday school, you can't all do what we did, but we couldn't do what you do. And I have talked to people, and my wife going into our churches and crisscrossing around the Midwest, using some amazing gifts and abilities and opportunities for serving the Lord. Back in South Bend, I remember the story of a lady. She was 90 years old. Her husband had been a postman, died fairly young. You know what she did? She'd bum a ride, and she'd go to a gospel tract headquarters every day, and she would box up tracts that would be sent to the ends of the earth. She had the health and ability to do that on a part-time basis. What an amazing thing. An open door of opportunity for her. What's the open door of opportunity God's given to you? As an individual, to a church, you see, open doors of opportunity come from God, and God fits the individual to the opportunity. Paul said, for me. Now, principle number 3 in this passage that we find is this. Open doors of opportunity mean opposition. Open doors of opportunity mean opposition. If you're going to take advantage of that open door of opportunity, get ready for tough times. Get ready for challenges. Great blessing, great excitement. You look at all these things, wow, 32,000 people, 1,000 in the Bible. You say, wow, would I like to be a part of that? Well, let me tell you what the cost was. But before I do that, I want to make a statement, and the statement is this. Easier is not always better. Easier is not always better. You know, we have a mentality that we have developed that easier is better. Can I tell you something? It would have been easier to stay in South Bend, Indiana, and I'm sure God would have blessed that. But looking back from 30 years, retrospective, do you really think that would have been better? You know, we're getting immune from being willing to make the tough choices and the costly choices. You know, when we came here 31 years ago, you could have kept that money. There were other things that Westridge was the church then could have done with those funds, but you chose to sacrificially commit and give because you believed that easier is not better. Easier is not better. You know, it's easier to go to a nice school, get a nice secular school, get a nice degree, get a nice job, get plenty of money, drive a nice car, get a big house and a bigger house. You have all those kids and you get a bigger house, and then the kids go away and you say, what am I going to do with this big house? RV and all the fun stuff, all the toys, and you work at it. But where does God fit into all of that? What if God is calling you to put your life on the line and say, God, wherever, however, whatever you want, with my time, with my gifts, with my abilities, it's on the line, I'm your global Christian, across the street or across the world. If it is God's will for you to go in that direction and that's where he's calling you, great. But what if he's calling you in another direction? You know, I think God can count. Do you think God can count? There are a lot of fields where missionaries are wanting to retire and need to retire, but they can't because there's nobody to take their place. That's not the case with us. We've got a whole new generation of dynamic young leaders all across Europe. The guys that are stepping into my regional directorship, the couple there and in Hungary, are really, really wonderful, dynamic people. The best is yet to come in all of those ministries. Why are we missing? Could it be that some are opting for easier is better? You know, I've been in education for over 30 years now, Christian education. Can I be frank with you? Because you can't cut my support anyhow because you're dropping me in a few months. I'm retiring, so I might as well shoot away here. Can I just be honest with you here? I've been honest all day, but let me say something. The number one hindrance to young people being global Christians and going out as missionaries, cross-culturally, transcontinental, or whatever, even going into the pastor. Do you know the average church is waiting 2 to 4 years to get another pastor? Evangelical church, 2 to 4 years, don't have enough. Can I tell you the number one reason? You want to know what it is? What do you think it is? What do you think it is? Look at me. It's parents and grandparents who refuse to let go. Lord, we'll give to them. We'll be in church and we'll be involved. I'll teach a Sunday school class, or I'll help cut the lawn, or I'll help with a lot of things. But don't put your hand on my kids. Can I tell you something? When you release the hand of your child to serve the Lord vocationally, you're putting that child's hand in the hand of Christ. Is there any better place to be? Is there any worse place to be than out of the will of God? Easier is not better. These are three people that are very dear to Pam and me. The guy on the left is named Dave James. Dave James was my boss. He and I both went to Hungary in 1992, his family and mine. Together we started the Bible Institute. He was the director, I was the main Bible teacher and academic dean. Dave James is with the Lord. He had a terrible heart attack, severe heart attack, when he was serving there on the field after some years. Came back and served for several years in the United States, and he's with the Lord, passed away pretty young. The guy in the middle is Dan Buber. Dan Buber was there, just came not long before we came. He was the architect of the camping program at Word of Life Hungary when all of that stuff was going with the 400 kids from the orphanages and stuff every summer. Dan was directing the camp. Until 1995, when at the age of 29, he was killed in an auto accident in Budapest. Lynn Murphy is the lady on the right. She and her husband, Eric, came to Word of Life Hungary, founded that ministry back in 1989, many, many challenges. Not too many years after she got there, doctors discovered she had MS, and it ended in a very difficult way physically for Lynn, and she's been with the Lord now for some years. A German pastor during World War II by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer once made a statement, and here is what he said. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. Easier is not better when it comes to the kingdom of God. And there is a price. Open doors mean challenges. Paul said, there are many adversaries. Paul had the idol makers on his back. That's the place where they were screaming in the stadium for over 3 hours. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Almost sounds like a weekend in the NFL here in the U.S. He had all kinds of opposition there. And that's what happens when you get going for the Lord. In addition to all of that, we went through COVID and 1,000,001 different laws and all of the rest. Very strict restrictions in Europe. And then after that, one day after the restrictions were lifted, the war in Ukraine began and the refugees began streaming in. You see, the greater the victory, the higher the cost. Finally, today, as we wrap up, we have to say this. Open doors of opportunity must be taken to be of any use. What did Paul write? He said, I will tarry in Ephesus. I will remain in Ephesus. I'm changing my plan. I'm not coming to Corinth right now. Different direction in life. Why? Because a great door and effectual and effective is open to me. Do you realize it is not true that there are unlimited opportunities in life? Not this life. It's not true. Every opportunity in life is limited. Isn't that true? It may be limited by health, may be limited by age, may be limited by political situations. Myanmar, pray for Myanmar. They're going through a horrible, horrible civil war right now. It was a time when missionaries could go into Burma, not now. They can be limited by politics. They can be limited by many different things. In the end, every opportunity is limited by death. And you know, we came here, I was about 38 years old when I came here, and we shared this dream. And we said to you at that time, we don't know how long this is going to remain open. We know there's an open door of opportunity. We don't know what's going to happen. We didn't. We need to take advantage of it now. And that generation that was here at that time said, yes, we'll provide funding to help you. We'll provide prayer support. We'll stand with you. You go ahead and be the extension of our ministry into Hungary and Central Europe and Europe. And that was 31 years ago, and the rest is history. And praise God for what he has done. The door is still open, but who knows how long that might be? Who knows how long that might be in this country? Nobody knows. We know this. Open doors of opportunity must be taken to be of any use. Because you see, the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. The gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. And so with all of our hearts, we say to you, thank you. Thank you that you put those principles into practice. Thank you that you shared those dreams. Thank you that you entrusted us. Thank you that you gave. Thank you that you prayed. You have made an eternal difference. You know, all this started not with ability. God has more ability than any one of us. All of this started with availability. Missionaries, Pam and I, our family, you as a local church, we made ourselves available to God to be global Christians, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, to take it to that open door of opportunity that God has given. So we packed our bags, we left for Hungary, you stood there with us. You know, we have to come to that point in our life, I think, where we say to the Lord, Lord, here it is. Here are my plans. Here are my abilities. Here is my future. Here is my talent. Here are my finances. Here it all is. And Lord, it's yours. I'm available. I'm available to be a global Christian. I'm available to follow that open door wherever it leads. I don't always give this invitation, but I see a lot of young people here. This isn't just for young people. A couple weeks ago, I gave an invitation in a church about like this, and a 72-year-old woman came up afterward and said, I made that decision, but I didn't. I thought this was only for youth. But I just want to make it simple, and then we're turning this over to Pastor to close the service. And I'm going to ask Pam and Atung to come up here with me as they've made this decision. If you would want to make that decision in your life, you've not done it, but you want to do that. You know, we're a family here. People want to pray for one another. You do that here, right? For those that want to make a decision like this, that you'll pray for them, that you'll encourage them, that you'll help them, even as you did for us. But to say this to God, before we close the service, I just want to say, you want to say, Lord, I'm serious about this. Here I am. I'm available. As we've talked, I'm available. If you want to make that decision, we're going to just pray for you, and these people are going to encourage you, but have the courage to step up here. Stand with us. Anybody that would say, yes, God spoke in my heart today, I'm going to put it on the line. I'm available. Anybody? Come on up. Amen. Hey, great. Good job. Anybody else? Want to join? All right. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Just wait a minute. Not going to carry out a long time. It's your last chance. Anyone else? Let's pray. Father, thank you for these guys that came up today. I have no idea where you're going to lead them, or they don't know probably, but it's going to be exceedingly abundantly above all they ask or think, because that's all you're asking from any of us, to be available. And in my generation and the next generation, bless these guys, bless their families, bless the parents, help those that are near to them to encourage them in that decision. And use them for your honor and glory, and bless others who maybe in their hearts are thinking about this, but not ready maybe to do it in a public manner. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Pastor Joe and his wife and their 27 years of faithfulness here, being available to you to come here to Oak Park, and how you've used them. Continue to bless this church and use them to reach the ends of the earth as you have used them in the life of Pam and me these last 31 years. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys.
Pastor.
Thank you, Alex and Pam. Thank you for today, but thank you for all your years of faithfulness. We really appreciate that. And what a privilege to be able to partner with them.
The benediction today is Paul's final word to Timothy. And here's what he told Timothy. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. You're dismissed.